This morning, we're going to try to get our head around a big idea at the beginning of the 21st century, looking at the energy business. You may have seen the headline. The Exxon Corporation bought XTO for more than $40 billion, one of the nation's largest producers of natural gas. We're joined and pleased to be joined by Lisa Marganelli, Director of Energy Policy Initiative at the New America Foundation, friend of The Takeaway. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
And Daniel Yergin, of course, chairman of the Cambridge Energy Research Associates and Pulitzer Prize winner for his book, The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. The new edition of that book is out now. Daniel Yergin, good morning.
And good morning.
You know, I was looking at this huge energy deal where Exxon is taking over this XTO natural gas company. And it seems to me at the beginning of the 21st century, as fossil fuel companies look to the future, there's a trend towards reconsolidation of the industry. It almost looks as though the old Standard Oil of the beginning of the 20th century may be coming back into existence in a new form that includes natural gas, coal, and oil. Daniel Yergin, what do you think?
I don't think that's quite the direction. If you look at the world, big oil is not the United States. It's not these traditional companies. Big oil are the state-owned oil companies from Saudi Aramco to PetroChina to Petróleos de Venezuela, who, when you add them all together, control about 80% of the world's oil reserves. I think what you are getting at, though, is that natural gas is going to loom larger in our energy mix because it's a lower carbon fuel compared to, let's say, coal. And so it is going to be probably pretty important in terms of electric power generation, and I think that's part of what's at work here.
Lisa Marganelli, you heard Daniel Yergin ticking off those big monopoly state-owned oil companies. Is a U.S. company like Exxon at a competitive disadvantage trying to get into the investment for clean fossil fuels in a deal like XTO? Does it need to be more of a monopoly to compete?
I don't think so. XTO has spent years developing the business of natural gas, especially this really hard to get to natural gas, and done all sorts of things to make it more profitable to drill every single well that they do. They've just spent years and years working away on this sort of unprofitable niche, turning it into a profitable niche. And then Exxon basically gets to go in and buy that expertise and buy all of those wells.
Yeah. And John, Lisa's gone to the essential point. What we've seen in this decade, if you said, what's the most important energy innovation of the decade? It's not wind, it's not solar, it's what Lisa just described, which was this breakthrough that's occurred in liberating this really quite a lot of natural gas that formerly was inaccessible. And I think since this decade only has about 14 days to go, we're pretty safe saying this is the biggest innovation in this decade in terms of energy.
And we're glad to be reporting on it here in the last 14 days of the decade. Let's talk about where natural gas goes from here, because there are extraordinary global competitors in natural gas. Qatar, of course, is the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. There are significant holdings in the United States and in Russia. Where do we look globally for leadership on natural gas production and innovation, like Lisa was talking about? Daniel, you first, and then Lisa.
Well, I think 3 years ago, it would have been, or 2 years ago, it's exactly what you said. You would have looked at Qatar. The other real heavyweight in terms of natural gas is Russia, and the third heavyweight is Iran, although it can't seem to get it together to get its natural gas industry into order. But I think that was the picture, that we would be importing lots and lots of LNG, we'd become more integrated in the global market. And what this innovation now does is says we have the potential for a very significant supply at home, and that as we try and move, and we'll come out of Copenhagen with big targets for reducing CO2, people will be looking to natural gas, particularly not so much for vehicles, but for electric generation.
Right. Lisa Marganelli, you know, the numbers here are huge, $41 or $42 billion, this Exxon deal for XTO. With mm-hmm. the president talking about the green industries that are going to burgeon in the next decade or so, it seems to me the numbers that they're using for, you know, installers of solar panels, et cetera, are tiny compared to this change that's going on in the traditional fossil fuel sector. Do you think the old fossil fuel sector actually has some growth potential over the next decade or so?
Well, definitely. But what I think is really interesting here is, you know, Exxon has been, for most of this whole decade, the big foot dragger among the oil companies about going to greenhouse gas emissions control. And they've said in the early part of the decade, they said, well, global warming wasn't an issue or it wasn't man-made. And they have really invested quite a lot in that. Now, just in their last report, which came out just last week, they are talking about a carbon price of $30 to $60 a ton. They're talking about natural gas. They're talking about algae. They're talking about basically swinging their whole focus towards making money by reducing carbon from the fuel mix. And that's a really big change. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, we're all waiting for this political solution in Copenhagen. But basically, if we got most of our energy suppliers to sort of change their mindset and say, okay, we're going to try to knock out the carbon and we're going to try to, we're instead of resisting greenhouse gas legislation, we're going to push for it. That's a huge change, and that may do quite a bit to push us towards having good legislation,
well,
or legislation at all.
Indeed, it is a huge change. But I can already, Daniel Juergen, read the emails from takeaway listeners who are going to say, John, you get it wrong once again. Natural gas is a carbon fuel. It doesn't reduce really the carbon footprint. It's just sort of tweaking around the edges. What would you say to that?
I think, well, first of all, you know, when I sat down to do the new edition of the prize, and this follows from what Lisa was saying, I thought, you know, what's really changed? And I think in that period, 2000, when we look back, 2004, 2007, 2008, kind of the world changed its mind, and politically, carbon reduction is on the agenda in a way it wasn't half a decade ago. And I think the reality is that the numbers in the energy system are so big, so clearly natural gas is a hydrocarbon, but it's about produces about half as much carbon as coal. And if you're trying to meet targets and you look at the scale of our economy, we hope it will be a $14 trillion economy again, it uses an awful lot of energy, and the answer is going to be you're going to probably have to do everything.
Interesting. All right, well then, before we go, are the ghosts of Standard Oil dead then in the 21st century? Yes or no? Daniel Juergen and then Lisa.
I think no. I think if you look at this in a competitive way, there is a lot of competition from those heavyweights outside the U.S.
All right, Lisa Marganelli, is the Standard Oil still haunting us here in the 21st century?
I don't think they're still haunting us, but if what we want in a new low-carbon economy is lots and lots of entrepreneurs and lots of new breakout little industries, we're going to have to push for them.
Interesting.
Just as much as Exxon will be pushing to have its share of the cake.
Lisa Marganelli. Lisa
concentrate on it.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Marganelli is the author of Oil on the Brain. She's director of energy policy at the New America Foundation. And Daniel Juergen is the author of the book The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. A new edition, updated, as he said, is out now. Thanks to both of you, Lisa and Daniel.